Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. And thank God for all you listening and wherever you listen to me at. Hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we take this time to acknowledge you because you are all wise and all knowing. You have all wisdom, and there's none that's greater than you. No one's knowledge can surpass yours. And Lord God, you are the creator, and no one has the creative power like you do. But Lord God, we come this day, Lord God, as we humble ourselves, and we make this request once again before you that, Lord, shed light in areas that are dark to us, that we may understand and know what's in the mind of God. Lord Jesus, we ask today that your spirit accompany us as we once again take this journey into your word. And we dare not enter your word without you, Lord. So therefore, we make this request that you will be with us. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for such a golden opportunity you've given us to go into your word again. And we thank you for the presence of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Now, let's open up with our opening scripture, 21, Acts chapter 21. In your Bibles, you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 21. And before, once again, I go into the opening scriptures, I want to say once again, for those of you who are first-time listeners, you will hear me come with scriptures from the Bible, but you also will hear me come with scriptures from two more books that the Lord Jesus Christ had caused to come for. And if you listen to each section of this series, Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease, you will hear, especially in the part ones, you would hear me tell you where to go to on Blog Talk Radio to hear more about these books, okay? Because they are books of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Now, if you want, let's say, the Word of the Lord, any copies of the messages, thus far the Lord has sent 120 messages through his angel, the Elijah, okay? And if you want to order any of them, it's 75 cents per dozen. If you want to order them, read it for yourself and take it to the Lord to find out if that's true, no problem. 75 cents a dozen. If you want the book, what is called The Record of Nephi, it is $8, okay? And if you want either of these books or whatever, the headquarters of the church is located at 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Now, if you want to order, the phone number is 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get anyone at that number, you can call area code 816-252-2343. 816-252-2343, okay? and you can order the messages or the book or both. Amen. Now, I wanted to say that, yes, it's, you know, people say, oh, wait a minute, you say it costs, y'all supposed to give it freely. Well, the reason why there has been a price there, because you know it costs money to get these books print. Now, however, if someone's out there and they had no money and they really want this word of the Lord and really, in fact, let me go deeper. There's times I might, you know, we might be out there missionary working. Let's say the Lord said, get them a message or give them a record of Nephite. Now, if the Holy Ghost lead that way, no problem. We won't be say, hey, I give you this for this amount of money. Okay. Amen. It's because it's the total leading of the Spirit. But and other than that, you know, it costs money to get these things print. Amen. Glory be to God. So now, having got that out the way, we're going to proceed on. Our opening scripture is Acts chapter 21. And I'm going to read verses 10 to verse 14. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to verse 14. And the word of God said, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind a man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, tonight, this part of the series titled Health, Healing, Sickness, Disease, Jesus Will, Part 5. And normally, what I've been doing in this series, and I told you this series has been divided to five different sections, each one of them having a part 1, 2, 3, you know, you name it. And normally, after I do Jesus' will, I would do, quote, the devil's will. Well, I completed that on the devil's will. Now, after that, normally is the cause. But I believe that tonight, when I was last on the broadcast, because I missed yesterday, and for you guys that were listening, I did Jesus' will part 4, and I told you I was going to come back the next day, which I ended up missing, with a part 5 because of something specific. And I believe that I needed to continue on with this and perhaps maybe finish out the Jesus Will series and go on to the other sections and go ahead and try to finish that out. Amen. Now, in the Jesus Will series, we've been looking at, and I have been giving you the word and showing to you where that it is not Jesus will for you to be sick. It is his will for you to be healed. Okay. Hallelujah. It's not his will for you to be sick. It is his will for you to be healed. Okay. Amen. And as I've shared to you guys before that have been listening, you know, there are many of God's people who actually think that it is the Lord's will for you to be sick. Okay? Amen. And it's sad to say that, but they do. Now, many of them, no doubt, think that because of being in ignorance, really, about the overall will of God, amen, for their life. And not knowing the scriptures, and some of them have repeated such sayings simply because of what they've heard other people say. Maybe other people they admire, other people they look up to who have been in error too about that, who have said, well, it is the Lord's will for you to be sick. Let the will of the Lord be done. And so therefore, they clung to that and say, hey, and so they start repeating. Well, I believe that we all, at some degree, have been guilty of that, okay? Not really searching things, okay? and just repeating what we heard, okay, until we came across a heavy spot where we had to buckle down and get in there and try to learn it ourselves, okay, or seek it, you know, the truth of the matter, okay, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank God for his precious word. Glory be to God. Now, in this section dealing with Jesus' will, in part four, I went over with you a scripture where that, and I share with you guys that when we do the broadcast, I post it on Facebook, and Facebook may put it before so many people. And you know from there you're going to get comments. Now, I do understand that everybody is not going to agree with you, okay? I do understand that there are some who are going to say some mean and horrible things about what is being preached or taught. I do understand that. Now, for the most part, you know, and this goes for anyone that's listening, and this is not a arrogant statement I'm trying to make, but if you choose to say, hey, I don't want to listen to that, you're crazy, blah, 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 you know, that's your decision. In fact, there was such a one that comment on one of the parts of the series here, and this guy said, and I want to get it right. I think he said another Christian something that I don't want to hear. Well, that's his privilege, okay? I'm not going to get discouraged and quit giving, preaching and teaching the gospel because there are some, and I do mean some. I didn't say all. Because there's no way that Jesus is going to have us preaching the gospel and that there not be somebody that's going to hear, okay? So I'm not going to be discouraged, no matter who you are, if you say, oh, man, you crazy. I ain't listening to that. I'm tired of blah, blah. That's your decision. I'm not going to stop giving the word Jesus Christ because you're one among those who, you know, feel like. In fact, this person made a comment. And like I said, they don't want to hear about. Okay, you don't want to hear about. Fine. One of the things I do know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if I'm trying to give the word to you, the pureness of the word, and you reject it, well, guess what? That's on you. I mean, I'm concerned for your soul, but I'm not going to have sleepless nights because simply you don't want to hear. So if you don't want to hear, that's up to you. So in part four, I went into a scripture with you that there was one that responded to when I was, you know, in the part of the series where I said, well, it's not Jesus' will for you to be sick and blah, 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 and all that. And they came back with 2 Corinthians 12 to, like, show, like, okay, this thorn in the flesh that Paul was talking about as if it was Jesus' will for you to be sick because it was given unto Paul a thorn in the flesh. But however, when we looked at that, that thorn in the flesh, quote, was not really the sickness. It was a being. It was an evil spirit that was stirring up trouble with Paul. Okay, now we know the countless things that Paul went through on his journey with the word. He was even beaten and left for dead. Well, see, the people that do it is Satan was stirring it up, okay? And the evil spirit was a messenger. He said a messenger of Satan who was sent to buffet him, okay, who was sent to strike him, amen, to hit, you know, to give him problems. He was a thorn in the flesh, aggravation, problems all day, just like God told Israel that, you know, if you don't destroy, you know, in the Old Testament, tell me if you don't destroy the nation that before thee, that the remnant of them that were left will be a thorn in your side, okay? They're going to be problems. They're going to be trouble, okay? Now, I want to look at. There was another response, and I think that This response was either to the Jesus will section of health, healing, sickness, and disease, or the devil's will section, because there was this particular one sent a message to me that say, well, it's all sickness from the devil. And so he put it in the form of a question. But I think this, and then there was this other person who I believe saw the question that this one person sent me when saying, is there a sickness from the devil? And this person went to answer them and showed them, gave them scriptures about Jesus sending pestilence and things of that nature. Now, I want to address that tonight. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to address it. I'm addressing it here under Jesus' will, because even though the scriptures that this second person sent to that first person that asked me is all sickness from the devil, and even though the scripture they sent him is of a truth, I want to explain this somewhat about what they're dealing with, because, you know, people would get the, you know, thinking that, okay, these scriptures right here show, well, if God sent a pestilence, it show it is his will for you to be sick. No, that's not. No, that's not. We're going to get into that in a minute. Now, before that, like I said, the person asked me, said, well, you said all sickness is from the devil. Well, Satan is the originator. He's the author of it. Now, there are sicknesses in the body. Like I said, glory to God. You catch your colds and stuff like that. But in general, Satan is the author of sickness and disease. Okay? Now, yeah, there's some things that you can experience it of the body. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the true overall originator, author of it, is Satan. Okay? Amen. If you look in Job chapter 1, remember what Satan said to the Lord. Okay? Job chapter 1. Let's turn there right quick, and then we'll go into our main thing. Job chapter 1. And if you see, look at here, Job chapter 1. Now, and we're going to look at Job chapter 2. Let's go to Job chapter 2. I'm going to make a correction there. I'm sorry, Job chapter 2, okay? Verse 4, okay? And look at what Satan says to the Lord here. He said, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So he said, he is in your hand. So you can do something to him, but save his life. And so the Bible says in verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and did something. What did he do? Smote Job with what? Sore balls. Okay, did you see that? From the sole of his foot unto his crown. Balls. That's sicknesses. That's pain. Infections. See, he had the power to do that. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So overall, Satan is the originator, the author of sickness and disease. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, like I said, there's some sickness and disease, as you would say, will be of the body. That stuff that happened. Glory be to God. You catch certain colds and stuff like that. But overall, in general, Satan is the author of sickness and disease. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, if you notice that when you look at the scriptures, you don't read nothing about Satan being a healer. Now, do you? You don't read nothing about Satan being a healer. Satan healed and so on. No, you don't read nothing about Satan being a healer. The healer is always declared to be who? Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in John 10, what? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what does sickness do? What do disease do? It destroys, don't it? It kills, don't it? Okay. Okay, so glory be to God. Now I want to go into the main. Now, this person that answered the person who sent me the question said, are you saying all sicknesses come from the devil? Okay. And this person saw that and wanted to ask them by giving them three scriptures. And these three scriptures were showing this thing, particular thing sent from God. Okay. Now, like I said before, the reason why I'm addressing this now is because there are some who will look at this to think that, okay, well, God sent a pestilence. That must mean that's his will for us to be sick. You get what I'm saying? And see, when this person sent that other person this answer to their question, this is where it's like it was pointed to, okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All glory, hallelujah. And honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I want to look at the three scriptures from the Bible here that this particular person sent. And once again, I pray that you're listening to this because perhaps some of you, when you see these scriptures, and especially not only me, but other Christians are telling you, say, hey, it's not Jesus' will for you to be sick, but you see these scriptures right here, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. In fact, okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, this is one of the scriptures that this particular person sent. Glory to God. We're going to look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Amen. Excuse me. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And once again, if you don't let the Holy Ghost deal with you on this, because remember I told you the Word of God is like a big puzzle, and the Holy Ghost had to connect the dots for us, connect the things together, put the pieces together to make the overall picture. And we have to depend upon the Spirit of God, get into a point where we hear the Spirit of God in our studies in order for the pieces of the puzzle to be connected together. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, the Word of God said, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, notice in verse 13, the Lord said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, stop there. Now, this is one of the places that this particular person gave the other person when they were asking me the question, are you saying all sicknesses come from the devil? Now, directly or indirectly, in a sense, yeah, but there are sicknesses in the body, okay, but you have Satan either directly doing something or indirectly, glory be to God, okay? So, in general, sickness and disease, Satan is the author, and he can directly or indirectly do it. Now, yes, like I said, you got some things, like, for example, some things don't agree with the body, like, you can, for example, I'll give you an example of me right quick. I like bananas. But if I, you know, I like bananas, but bananas kind of hurt me when I eat it, like put gas in the stomach and stuff like that. Well, if I go eating too many bananas, well, and it make me sick with the bad, you know, strong gas in my stomach, what happened? Well, I ate the bananas, okay? So my body didn't agree with that, and that can cause me to get sick. But in general, Satan is the author and sickness of disease, and he either directly or indirectly can afflict you with it. Now, notice once again in verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that the Lord said, if I send pestilence among my people. So what's pestilence? Like what? Sickness, disease, and stuff like that, right? So if you were to look at that and say, hey, wait a minute, Brother Nate. Well, hold the press. Stop the press for a minute. You say it ain't Jesus' will for us to be sick. But here, the Lord talking about not only shutting up heaven, not only sending the locusts to devour it, he said, but if I should send pestilence. So if it ain't the Lord's will, why is he doing that? Well, understand this. Notice that this, what Jesus said, was connected to something, or it was the result of something. Okay? This right here, when the Lord mentioned this, this is his judgment. Okay? Why is that? Well, let's let verse 14 answer. If my people, which I call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from what, Lord? Turn from their wicked ways. Do you see that? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive what? Their sin. So this sending of the pestilence will come from as a result of sin. It is a representation of the Lord's judgment. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is not the Lord's will for you to be sick, but this is of his judgment. Give you an example. How many of y'all listening out there got kids or had kids? Okay. Maybe your kids grown. Well, let's say, for example, remember when your kids was little and they was, let's say they come to the age of a child and they come to the age where you can whoop them. Okay. And there were some things they did merit a spanking, okay? Now, did you really just want to spank them or whoop them with the belt? No, but you knew that that was something that had to be done based on what? On what wrong that they did, okay? Now, if you as a parent was sitting down and your child come walk through the house and you said, I just going to get that belt and hit them, well, there's something wrong with you. But when you whoop them because of the judgment that came from the act that they did for chastising, that's something different, okay? So when the Lord talked about sending a pestilence here, this was representation of judgment. God did not delight in sending a pestilence or a curse, but he knew they had to be done because that's part of his judgment. He doesn't delight in that. He does not want you to be sick, okay? But if you persist in that sin, you open that door for a curse to come. That's why he said, if my people will repent and turn from where they're wicked ways, they was walking in wickedness. Okay? Amen. Just like me and you that disciplined your children when they were growing up. How long were they going to continue to do that stuff they were doing out of the way for you whoop them? You understand what I'm saying? You may not whoop them the first time, but eventually you whoop them. Okay? Now, did you take delight in that? No. Not if you was a parent with love now. You know, some parents is, my God. Anyhow, we're going to leave that alone. But if you're a parent that loved a child, you didn't take no delight in that and whooping them. But you knew it had to be done. It had to be done. Okay? You're not just sitting around the house thinking about hitting them. If that's your will, then guess what? That's evil. The Lord is not sitting around in heaven going, huh, I see Nate down there. I'm just going to pop him. No, if that ain't the Lord. I'm just going to send a sickness on him. Okay? If God had that type of spirit, that would be different. But see, this thing was sent because of what? Of judgment. Of judgment. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Now, this is the other one, scripture that was given. Now, once again, this person that was given this scripture, I give them credit in one sense as far as going with the two or three witnesses, because they gave three witnesses here, but it was not witnesses that line up to whether to rightly show about the will of the Lord Jesus, okay? It was witnesses to show that, yes, God was in judgment. He's a God of judgment. Now, that's true. But being used to say, okay, this shows that the Lord's will for you to be sick is not true. Okay. Now, Ezekiel chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 12 to verse 23, because this is the other thing that this person gave, Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 to verse 23. Now, here's what the word of God says. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, son of man, when the land sent up, now keep that in mind, when the land sent up, when the land sent up, when the land sent up against me, guess who? The Lord, by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should be delivered, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, say the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man can pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, say the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Okay? Now, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, say the Lord God, they should deliver neither son nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, say the Lord God, they should deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. But thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments, do you see that, upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, there shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be confident concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. Now, notice that in those verses, starting off, verse 13, the Lord said, when the land sinneth against me. Once again, what sparked the judgment? Sin. He said, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing. Okay? So once again, the Lord just wasn't sitting there saying, I think I'll send some pestilence and all that on. No, this was part of the curse of judgments. Okay? Amen. In fact, if it was the Lord's will for man and especially his people to be sick, then God must be a biased person, because notice what I read. He mentioned especially three. He said, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, say the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their own righteousness. So if it was the Lord's will for you to be sick, then he must be a biased God, because he's going to let these three, he said, even if they was in the land, they'd be saved, spared, and delivered by their own righteousness. So this had to represent judgment on his people who had what? Sin and trespassing. Now, did the Lord take, is that what he, his will, that he want them sick? No. But once again, what is this connected to? Judgment. Amen. It's connected to judgment. See, we have been spending, and many of us in the body of Christ, and I don't mean this to be funny, and I've listened to many well-known ministers, TV, televangelists, you name it. And you got some who do not want you to tell people. For example, you got some that don't want you to tell people that there's a hell. Oh, don't tell them that, you'll scare them. Don't tell them. And they don't want you to tell the people that God is a God of judgment. Now, yes, we must tell them that he's a loving God. He's a good God. But I'm going to tell you what we have done in the danger of being one-sided. We have painted a picture to the mind of many people that the Lord God is a doormat. You say, how is that? Because all we talk about is heaven, and we talk about how much he loves and how much he forgives, and that's true. Don't get me wrong. But we don't tell them about the consequences of rejecting the Lord. We don't tell them about hell. We don't tell them about how that when you keep fighting against the Lord and sin and trespassing, you're going to cause the judgment of God to come upon you. And so people will start feeling like they can cuss God and say anything they want to him, spit up at him, spit in his face, smite him, and do all that, and then they still going to bust the pearly gates of heaven wide open. Why? Because many of us have fooled them and not telling them the full truth. And this is why Jesus said, preach the fullness of the gospel. And we have failed because we have preached nothing but half of it. Amen. And we're throwing a muzzle over the mouth of the people that's trying to preach the other half. Amen. We just throw the muzzle over and say, oh, don't tell them that. No, see, the Lord wants me to tell you the whole thing. He wants me to tell you that he's a loving God. He wants me to tell you that he'll forgive you and wipe clean your slate. He wants you to know that. But however, he wants you to be warned that if you say no to all of this, I don't want to do it now, blah, 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 and thinking that when you die in the afterlife, you're going to go to a beautiful royal place where you'll be just dancing in the sun, jumping in the air with a smile swing. That's not going to happen. Because the place you'll end up where, I guarantee you, over and over and over again, you'll be wishing, I never came here, okay? But you have to be warned about the place, people. That's where the fullness of the gospel has to be preached. And people that have been preaching about hellfire, they say, oh, that's the hellfire brimstone preacher. You know, it, just give him a title that make him sound like he's just the scum of the earth. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Now, the other scripture that was given was in Revelation chapter 6. And that this one had given. And thank you, Jesus. Verse 8, Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. And the word of God said, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, with the beasts of the earth. Okay. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Okay. And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Who is the them? The them that's going to be killed. The believers. Okay? But notice that it talks about this pale horse that his name that was on him was Death, and hell followed him. Why was this released? This is part of the judgments of the earth. Okay? He said he is to kill with what? With death, with the sword, with hunger. Amen. So these things was released. Okay? Part of what? Judgment. I mean, the Lord, people, we got to understand the nature and character of God. See, that's another thing we fail at. See, if we really understood God's nature, his character, then we can come to understand why sickness and disease is not his will. It's not his will for people to be sick and diseased, because when you understand the nature and character of God, okay? And I think that's another area we fall short at, so therefore we'll say, well, it's the Lord's will for you to be sick. Or we say, somebody that's sick, son, let the will of the Lord be done. Well, if you know the nature and character of the Lord Jesus, if you really knew, you'll go, wait a minute, I just made a mistake. That the Lord don't want this. He don't want to see this. His children, or to see man squirming and torment and stuff like that. He don't get. Now, see, the only person whose nature gets a kick out of that is Satan. Amen. It's Satan. Just like, for example, have you ever met somebody that you come across that when they saw somebody else hurt or sick, they started laughing and it was so funny and they were making mockery, and you sat there with your mouth wide open and standing there and said, I can't believe making fun of this. Well, that's the type of spirit Satan has. You being sick, bound, and stuff like that, oh, Satan loves that. Jesus don't love that, people. He don't get no kick out of that, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to read a scripture out of the book called The Record of Nephi. And like I said, this is another book of the Word of God, of the inhabitants that live on this continent during prehistoric times. And these inhabitants, one was of the house of Israel, of the house of Joseph, that came over here. And, you know, we had shared with you on the broadcast, and you can look that up. And like I said, I told you that in part ones of each part of this section of these series, I told you where to go look for to look hear more on these books. But the inhabitants that was over here, you had two groups. One of the groups that came over here divided into two people called the Nephites and the Lamanites. And the Nephites were the people of God. They was considered to be the people of God. And the Lamanites were not at that time considered to be the people of God. Okay, so the Lord, and he dealt with people over here. You know, and his, you know, there are some Christians who even act like that they're the only ones God used. And I know that many of you just know the Bible, and you think that's the only book of the Word of God, but it's not. Yes, the Lord dealt with the Jewish believers and all that. When you see in the Word in the Scriptures, yeah, but they wasn't only the only ones of the tribe of Israel that God dealt with. Okay? Remember, Israel had 12 sons. Now, not one. He had 12 sons, each of them representing dealing with a tribe. Okay? So the Lord didn't just deal with the tribe of Judah, but he dealt with others. One of them, the tribe of the house of Joseph. Okay? Now, I want to read something to you. And I pray that you hear this, and you know, and listen, take this to the Lord. And it says, and thus we can behold how false and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. Yea, we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks, their herds, in gold and silver, and all manner of precious things of every kind and art, sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies, that they should not declare wars against them. Yea, and fine, doing all things for the welfare and happiness of his people. Yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget the Lord their God and do trample under their feet the Holy One. Yea, and this because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, yea, except he doth visit them with death and terror, with famine, and with all manner of pestilence, they would not remember him. What is this part of? The judgment of what? Of his people who are turned away from him, and they're tramping on the Lord Jesus. Okay? So once again, what is this connected to? To the judgments. You get that? Amen. Now, once again, the Lord don't take delight in this. But see, he talks about how, and you see it today. God has blessed many of his people, for example, let's say money. He has blessed many of his people with great wealth. And look what has happened to some of them. It's become prideful. Okay? You know, you look at, for example, and I'll say this, I know that it might not go over well with many people, but this is the truth. Like you look at with many ministers, you know, they're invited to go to a certain place. They charge, you know, so much money. But look how, I got to say this, ridiculous the prices have been. I mean, we're talking about in the thousands. And you can see, as I've seen many on TV, from, quote, gospel singers to big televangelists, that pride, they get lifted in. And now you look at the gospel music scene and many of the big-time ministers and all that stuff, it looked like Christian Hollywood. That's what it looked like. It looked like Christian Hollywood. It looked like Hollywood in another version, but it's called Christians. That's what it looked like. And many of God's people have gotten lifted up in pride through the prosperity and the things that God has blessed. See, God have done some great things. The Lord Jesus have done some great things for his people. And what happens is that now they've turned to a point they have forgotten the Lord their God. I mean, they are accepting whatever in their congregations now, teaching whatever, practicing whatever, okay, doing all kind of stuff, worldly stuff. And they have forgotten the Lord their God. And now, to many of them, it's all about pleasing the world. That's what it's about. It's not being about the true gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. It's about pleasing the world. And that's why they're doing a lot of this off-the-wall stuff. You hear what I'm saying? And on top of that, in the name of, quote, Christianity, dude, we're Christians. And they're doing some stuff that making sinners go, say, what? You know, they look like, what is this? I thought they would be a Christian. And it's sad to say that they're causing, something's going to cause the judgment of God to come on them. I'm just going to be straight up with you. Pray that you walk in the straight, that it don't be you. And see, that's one of the things about many of God's people. They have been blessed financially. Some of them been blessed, like I said, got wealth, things of that nature. But now, it's like they have forgotten the Lord, their God. They are accepting abominable teachings and doctrines. They're mixing it in with their teaching it out to the people, leading people astray. They're lifting in pride. I've seen some gospel singers, they walk like pimps. Got the pimp walk. Don't you know the pimp walk is pride? That's what the pimp walk is about. It's pride, okay? Walking with a pimp, walking with real tight suits. And many of us got so out of the way that they're becoming so intertwined with the world that even their fashions, okay, is intertwined with the world. They have forgotten the Lord. Oh, it's not no more about respecting the Lord now, or being respectful unto the Lord. Is all about me, 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 me. That's what it's about. Now, I want to read one more verse, and this coming out of the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent by his angel messenger, the Elijah. This is called Message 28, and he sent it out January the 24th, 1932. January the 24th, 1932. Now, listen what he says here. Therefore, thus says the Lord your God to the humble, the honest in heart, to those that seek for truth and righteousness. Come out of her, lest ye suffer with the ungodly, and partake of her punishment. For my wrath is against the ungodly, against the liars and hypocrites, and those that count my commandments as naught. Now listen to this. He said, I have sent the destroyer and devourer in the land. And I will punish the nations and the inhabitants of the earth that they may become humble and inquire about me and my commandments. Now, see, that's the Lord sending the curse. But why is it sin? Judgment. And connected to what? To sin. And he said, I will punish the nations. You understand that? Hallelujah. See, we don't realize that we think stuff been hitting us and mess with us now. There's a lot more stuff that could be happening, but it's being held back by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Well, when he sends a curse, he starts moving the hand away, okay? Amen. But once again, it's not connected to him having some kind of delight or getting some kind of kick or joy out of this. It's not connected to that because, once again, we got to think about the nature and the character of Christ, okay? I'm saying that. But it's connected to judgment. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's connected to judgment, people. It's not, you know. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And listen, you know, the Lord Jesus' love for his people to be in hell, healing. I mean, what can he do? If you're being bound by sickness and disease, what could you do for the Lord? What I mean is, for example, if the Lord wanted you to go care somebody, but you're too sick to get up and move, what are you going to do? What can you do? If he wanted you like that, then he really pulling against himself, because he can't go tell you to go do something for him when you bow with sickness and disease. It makes no sense, because Christ provided that you won't have to be sick. Or, you know, and I don't want to say this before I close. It's been hard for, let me name these two group of people. Some church folks and some professing Christian, when you say the Lord Jesus set it up, it's not his will for you to walk around sick, but to walk around here. They can't fathom that. They can't think, oh, no, you got to be sick. As long as you live here, you got to be sick. No, not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. No, you ain't got to be sick. Okay? You got some people in the world say, well, you got to get something. And now some professing Christians have taken on the same kind of thinking. And so when you tell them, say, hey, well, Jesus provides so that you won't have to walk around sick, their eyes book, they look at you funny, you know, and sometimes it seems like you can see what's written on their forehead, their thoughts, like, come on, man, for real, you got to be sick from something. No, you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to. I remember one time Brother Kenny Hagin was preaching, and I forgot what year that was. I think it was 1980 something. I think one time he told me, say, he didn't have a headache. He hadn't had a headache at that time. I think he said 40 years. Could you imagine when he said that? I mean, how no doubt some people reacted. Now, they didn't show their face on TV. I wouldn't be surprised some in the congregation that was listening probably said, man, come on. Ain't nobody to work. Because why? Not just the world now, but some, quote, so-called church folk and some called professing Christians can't fathom that. So you tell them something like, hey, I ain't had a headache in 30 years, they'll look at you like, man, you talking crazy. You ain't nothing. Because why? They don't, many of them don't believe in Jesus' power to deliver and to keep long as we stay in him. Many don't believe in that. Oh, yes, they talk a great game, do a great shout, do a great roll on the floor, a drop kick and a backflip, all of that. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they MIA, missing in action, okay? Missing in action. Amen. My Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. So, as I share with some of you that have been listening, like I said, one of the reasons why I've been doing this series overall is because you need to hear this word, because it's going to be needed, because I'm telling you, things are going to tighten up, people. I was witnessing on my job to a couple guys, and like I told them, I said, a garden in the ground at one point is going to become one of your good friends. I said, because look at your food in the stores, people. Look how it's going up. I mean, food going up, how you going to keep up with it? Now, unless you're among the richest of the rich or getting a pretty good substantial amount of money coming in, and then again, the price is steady going up. But overall, it's going to get to a point you can't keep up with that. Your grocery going up. Your insurances are going up. Look at all this. It's not, I say this, hear me. It's not getting better on this earth. Peace is only going to be found in the hearts of God's faithful. It's not getting better on this earth. Don't you let these folks on TV fool you. Oh, everything's going to get better here on earth. No, it ain't. No, it's not. And we better do what the Lord Jesus said. Now, he had in Joseph's time, when Joseph was giving interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, and what did they do? They save up food. Because the Lord warned, first off, Pharaoh in the dream, that there was a famine that was going to come, 7 years of a famine. You're going to have 7 years of plenty, and then you're going to have 7 years of the famine. Well, see, they had to use wisdom of what? To save. And I'm telling you right now, people, I'm going to throw this out at you. Save you some food that got good shelf life, water, and all that. You need to do it now. Okay? And I'm here to share this with you. Like I witnessed today to a man today on my job. There's more stuff going on wrong here in America than the government is telling you. The government is not going to tell you. Why is that? They don't want to start a nation panic. They don't want to tell you about we're heading toward food shortages. They don't want to tell you that. See, when you start seeing certain things happening and you start questioning, what is this? What's going on? They always got some smoke screen to throw up, just like about this vaccine. Now, they ain't telling the people the truth about how this vaccine is affecting many people. But whenever that, you know, a report come out, the vaccine did this or that to somebody, what do you see they do? They come right behind and say, well, we examined, investigated, and found out that this didn't come from the vaccine. People, listen, they got to tell you that. If they told everybody the truth about this vaccine have had many, side effects in many people, do you know what kind of panic will start again? Do you not remember last year when the corona first got real bad? Look at how panicky this nation. Don't, I ain't talking about other nations. Forget other nations for a minute. Think about this nation. Look how panicky this nation got. Man, people were scared to go out anywhere, okay? I ain't trying to be funny or make light of it, but people were scared to go anywhere. Not only were they scared to go anywhere, they were scared to touch anything. They didn't even want to touch nothing behind you. And to this degree, still don't want to. You going to Walmart, getting a buggy, and they just spraying it down, wiping it down, okay? Amen. So the government ain't going to, they ain't sharing with y'all all the stuff that see, what they're going to do is let stuff hit real bad, then they're going to want to talk about it. Just like they talk about Trump, who already had a report and knew about this coronavirus before it really hit this bad in this nation. You understand what I'm saying? Well, guess what? Men of the government right now, and y'all please, forget this Democrat and Republican stuff, okay? It's wrong on both sides of the aisle, okay? But anyhow, you got many in government, Democrats and Republicans, okay? Who knows about the shortages that we're about to face? And they ain't telling the nation. Why? We don't want to start a nation panic. It's just like a lot of your jobs. A lot of your job, you working for a company, y'all been doing good for years, they've been selling big, and all of a sudden, you start noticing stuff around the place like, you know, y'all ain't getting some stuff that y'all used to. You may not be making the number of hours you used to. And when you ask the company leader, say, hey, everything okay, stuff starts selling, what they tell you? Everything's fine. Business is going strong. Even though you seeing different. And you say, why do they do that? Why do they purposely lie to us? Because they scared of a panic. If they tell the people, say, listen, man, well, our orders is it's bad. It's bad. We don't know if we're going to get any order. Well, then many of you might say, throw your tools down, just stand around or just walk out. Okay? I know that in 2008/2009, many of y'all remember that year, Bush was coming out of office and Barack was getting ready to become president. And remember all them jobs that went out? Well, I remember our plant manager that year got up. And normally, like I said, each year when stuff gets slow, they always saying, oh, things are looking strong, orders looking strong. This time, you know what he got up there and said? He said, I don't know what to tell you. I guess it's just signs of the time. That's the first time I ever seen him got low to speech like that. All the other times, him and the rest of them been saying, orders is going strong, looking good. We can been had a slow period. They can been laid folks off, you know. The closer they would get to it, say, well, you know, it's a little slow. But they won't come with the full. Then they say, oh, orders is running strong. Well, that year, he said, I don't know what to tell you. I guess it's just signs of the time. And I'm telling you, people, I pray you hear this. This is a message. This is a warning also. To get into faith with the Lord Jesus about your healing. Because I'm telling you right now, whether you see it or not, things are building up toward the mark of the beast. And the Bible says you're going to be able to buy or sell anything without that mark. And just think about it, for example. Think about your medicines. Okay? Well, how you going to get them when that mark comes? Only way you're going to get them is that you got to take that mark. Now, you can do like some of these people I've been hearing talking about, well, you know, God knows my heart. Boy, that, oh, my God, help me. But anyhow, you can say that if you want to. But if you read Revelation 13, it said, when you take that mark, that damnation to your soul, and it didn't end it by saying, but God know your heart. It didn't end it with that, okay? It didn't end it with that. And see, you have to see right now, come to understand, people, your insurance, your premiums ain't going down. Your premiums ain't going down, okay? And there are medicines that one time your insurance companies were covering, now they're sending you letters saying, well, we don't cover that no more. So now you want it, guess what got to happen? You got to pay for it out your pocket. Amen. You know, just like, and as I get ready to close, it's just like with this corona. When the corona first hit, you were getting tested for free. And I mean that, especially if you had insurance, okay? You were getting tested for free, especially on that. And I remember when my mom passed last year and I went to get tested because I was actually the last one in the house with her. And when I went and got tested, it was for free, covered under insurance. I ain't had to pay nothing. So last month, I wasn't feeling quite myself. And where the spirit of fear is on the job, you can't go on your job and say, hey, oh, I feel a little dizzy or my stomach hurt. Their eyes bucking what they automatically think. You need to go take a test. So I said, listen, I'm going to go over there and take a test anyhow. Okay. I'm just going to go over there and take a test. I told him, I said, I know what it is. I said, but I'm going to go take a test because, you know, they weren't going to hear that, well, Nate said it's this, they're going to want me to go take a test. So to avoid all that, I went and took a test. Well, when I took the test, now once again, this thing's supposed to still be free, right? Well, it was covered under the insurance, but guess what? The place that gave me the test still send me a bill for the copay. But see, back when this first came out, you had to pay nothing, copay or nothing. Okay? And I'm telling you, people, you coming out looking to depend on your insurance about this, they're going to get to a point that they're going to start saying, hey, we ain't covering all this now. You're going to have to, y'all going to have to, we ain't going to be able to foot all this. Okay? We're going to have to only, we're going to cover so much and that's it. Now, just by them giving the testing, I knew it cost $262. Okay? Amen. I pray that you hear. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for blessing us this day on this broadcast. I thank you for all those that were tuning in. I pray that as I delivered the message that it was pleasing in your sight. And I did it that it will bring a smile upon your face. Bless all those that have been listening. Those that seek for truth, let them find. In the name of Jesus, And Lord, we would give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for this blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord say the same. I should be back tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement. If nothing else comes up, the Lord say the same. Amen. So, once again, this is Brother Nate. And as I close, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, amen. May God bless you. May God keep you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.